I am going to see the Minions though. Me and Shorty gonna go see the Minions.
I couldn't get into the Minions.
No.
I don't know. It's niggas out here that got Minions though for the.
No, that's big facts though. That's big facts. But she's wanted to go see that, so I might see that. And then when we go see that, I might just fuck around and see the Buzz Lightyear movie. But it's not like something high on my list type shit.
You may go see Jurassic before you see Lightyear.
Yeah. Now, I'll go see Elvis before I see Lightyear.
All right. Now we're reaching. now we're jumping the shark.
I will go see that man. Hey, he's the first caper, okay? He had the first cape. You feel me? Like that guy right there. I will go see Elvis before I go see Buzz, bro. I promise.
You know he stole his entire everything from melanated people, so we can't even pay for that.
Listen, he definitely, you know what I'm saying, I'll say appropriated the culture to us to an extent to
a make far money extent. Off
of to you know what I'm saying? Yes, like he definitely did his thing in that manner. But what I will say is, like, from what I've heard about it, culturally driven, like it's not like, obviously it's whitewashed because he was a white man, but it's not whitewashed in the sense of like, he totally just like, you know what I'm saying, doesn't pay any homage or doesn't like, you know what I'm saying, show any respects to where he got his shit from. That's why I want to see it. So I don't know, but we'll see. But it's a couple movies that I'm trying to go see too though.
Are we rolling? Is this the intro?
I mean, shit, it can be. I don't, listen.
Hey, listen. Peace and love. What's going on, world? It's Trey.
And it's Scotty checking back in his beach, man.
Yes, sir. Welcome back to the Bro Chillians podcast, episode 156.
156 of them guys, bro. Yes, sir. We almost out of them 50s. We on the back end for real. Smooth.
Exactly. We want to shout out the first timers.
The last timers.
And in-betweeners.
For coming back week after week, man, showing much love, however y'all do it, whether it is liking, sharing, commenting, subscribing, turning that post notification on, you know what I'm saying, because we are on everything, shit, you can't miss us, you know what I'm saying, y'all know when we drop at this point, because we in the thick of it, but, yeah, man, docket ain't nothing too crazy, to be honest, I'm not gonna cap, like, I didn't really, like, see a lot of things that happened this week, unless I'm just, like, not privy, but I mean, we can start it off right, though. You know what I'm saying? How's your mental? How's your heart? Where you at?
I appreciate that. Yeah. I would say my heart is swell. My mental is great right now. I've taken a little bit of a sabbatical off social media for the past week, and it's been beneficial to me. You know what I'm saying? As social media goes off, I don't know if y'all heard that, but I feel like they do, you know, small tactics to try to get you back on to their platform or lure you back in. Check out Trey's story from today. Like, no, I mean, I know Trey, I just talked to him today, so I know what he did. You don't have to show me on social media.
The shit that be getting me is like the app will randomly just be following random people, and it's like it'll send me notifications about people that I don't know. I'm like, bro, stop doing that shit, because I didn't even follow this motherfucker, bro. Like, I hate that about it,
right? And then I don't know, it seems like, you know, these spam pages start following you, get underscore money 3250 or something like that. It'll be some kind of crypto page. I don't know. It has its tactics, long story short. But, you know, I've just been, you know, trying to lay low in that sense and sharpen my mindset outside of social media, just kind of tapping into my books, tapping into my people, and tapping into myself. You know, self-love is the best love. So that's what's been really going on my end. As far as what I did for the weekend, honestly, I don't see the 4th as a holiday for me. So, you know, I clocked in. I'm not going to even lie. Got me a shift. It was time and a half. That was really my holiday.
Yeah.
No, but yeah, how you feeling, King? How's your mental? How's your heart?
I'm cooling as well, bro. I've been on the same type of shit as well. I've been reading. I just started this new book called The Power of Now. That shit is amazing. So I've been on that, just kicking it with my shorty. Really just like enjoying my life as much as I can. I feel like we don't got enough time to be unhappy on this earth type shit. So I just been trying to, like, you know what I'm saying, tap in with my, not even like myself, but just like the things that I enjoy. Just been doing much of that. So yeah, but no, I'm cool. I can't complain. You know what I'm saying? We good.
Yeah. This gives me a time now to kind of catch up and finish the current books I'm reading as well, man. I've been stuck on the Four Agreements for five ever, and I'm more than halfway done at this point. So I'm definitely making progress. I'll probably finish it by tonight. But something kind of stuck out to me. You can kind of share what was on your book also, or something that you learned so far from reading it. It was the third agreement for me. Don't make assumptions. The third agreement is don't make assumptions. We have the tendency to make assumptions about everything. The problem with making assumptions is that we believe they are the truth. We could swear they are real. We make assumptions about what others are doing or thinking. We take it personally, that we blame them and reacting by sending emotional poison with our word. And so I don't know. That's kind of just spoke to me, because I feel like, I don't know, everybody jumps to assumptions, whether it's a friend, business partner. Everybody has the habit of doing it, but it's just kind of unlearning that behavior and kind of reversing it and putting some, I don't know, different kind of spin on it.
No, for sure. I definitely think that that's like one of the hardest things not to do. I feel like the one assumption that I do make about everyone is just the fact that everyone moves with it with self first, you know what I'm saying, with their own intent first. So like understanding that, I think, kind of like relays me back to, I don't know if it's the first or second agreement, but just to not take anything personally, just because of that reason.
I want to say it was the second one.
Yeah, okay. So yeah, it reversed me back to that one, just because like once you kind of, you know what I'm saying, understand that, and then with the aspect of not assuming, it kind of makes things, I don't want to say easier, but it makes it changes your perspective with who you're dealing with, how you're dealing with them, or whatever the case is. I definitely fuck with that. And then I guess in terms of the book that I've been reading, bro, honestly, that shit is so like complex in the way that it was written. Like it's one of those where like I'm literally sitting there and every word, every like stanza, every line, every paragraph, I'm literally thinking back, like, okay, do I do this? Is it talking about me? Like, can I work on this? Like, it's very like introspective and like reflexive kind of book in that way. And it's like it's very mindful of just like taking where you're at in this life now and applying it to turning yourself into, you know what I'm saying, a better you in a sense. So I think it's definitely a great book that everybody should read. But yeah, it's one of the ones where I'm literally having to like pick up a dictionary at the same time as I'm reading, because a lot of these words I don't really know. And you know, I'm great with my verbiage, you know, I like that type of shit. So the fact that it is like a more so inspiring type of book, type of read as well. I love that. That's probably one of my favorite books right now. And I'm only like a third of the way through. Like I just started it.
Yeah, you gotta ship that. You gotta ship that to me from Arizona after you get done with that.
I got you. Say less. Yeah, we're gonna pass around the team.
I love those kind of introspective, self-health, self-wealth like type of genre of book, I guess you can say. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we can kind of transition and talk about what'd you do for the fourth? Did you do anything crazy or?
Me, Shorty, my mom, and her boyfriend, we was just kicking it at the crib. You know what I'm saying? We had ate some foods, chopping it up. I got drunk as hell. And we went back to Shorty crib, and I don't know if you could see it. But my dumbass, I jumped in the pool drunk as hell and I hit my head on the bottom of that bitch.
I'm just laughing at the way you said that. I hit my head.
I hit my noggin, bro. That shit, I was like, bro, I don't know what the fuck.
On the
like,
concrete?
When I woke up the next morning, I was like, bro, on the concrete, bro. Like, it was like it was like 4 feet deep, I think. And I jumped in because she was talking shit. I jumped in. I tried to like use my hands as like a brace. Didn't help. That water weighed my ass down and that right there.
Bro, you're getting old, man. You can't do the same stuff you was doing at 16.
I don't know what it is, but I was just, I was on
some bullshit.
I was lit, bro. But she look, he set me up though, because she mixed, you know how I be drinking. I be drinking the straight whiskey with a couple ice cubes, bro. She mixed the whiskey and it was some Jack Honey, bro. It was some Jack Honey and some Makers, bro. Straight liquor and ice. She mixed that shit and I was done, bro.
I think you hitting your head is the equivalent to the Meek Mill moment where he slipped down the stairs.
I'm not facts though, big facts, bro. Cause I was literally like, dog, it's no way that I just did that. I'm like, why the fuck does my head hurt so bad? Like, I was on some dumb shit.
I bet next time you getting in the pool like a regular Samaritan.
Oh yeah, what? I'm taking the steps. Like, this shit's dead. I'm actually putting my feet in first. That's it.
It's not right. Dead. Right.
That's all we did. We was just kicking shit.
But yeah, man, we can transition to get into this docket. I don't know what you really have first from your palette. I don't know if you want to be Segway King or not this week. I did want to say also, you know, it's coincidentally, you know, a mass shooting happened on the day of 4th of July in Chicago at a parade. So definitely want to send some thoughts and prayers to the families and individuals that were affected from that. But that just goes to show you, man, like, this is what America stands on. You know, they're not tucking their shirt in, because the devil has been showing for the past few years, if not for the past 400 plus years.
Oh yeah, facts. And that was on my docket too as well. So I'm glad you brought that up first, because definitely prayers and condolences to all those families that were affected by that. And from what I know about it, it was very much premeditated. He bought his guns, and then, you know what I'm saying, tried to act like it wasn't what it was gonna be type shit, I guess. Like, he didn't plan on it. But they found out, I guess, like all of what he was into. But yeah, I think it was like 26 people or something like that.
So I can kind of, you know, read a few headlines, and this is from CNN. It says the shooting suspect has been charged with 7 counts of first degree murder following the mass shooting at a July 4th parade in Highland Park, Illinois on Monday that killed at least 7 people and injured dozens. Police said the suscect used a high powered rifle in the shooting and may have planned the attack for several weeks. Wow.
With the suspect twice in 2019, in one case, multiple knives was removed from his home. Witnesses described frantically fleeing when they realized they heard gunshots, not fireworks. Highland Park is located about 25 miles north of Chicago. So that's just to kind of catch people up to speed on what's going on currently. And again, this happened on Monday, the 4th of July.
Yeah, man, that shit is honestly, like you said, the devil is definitely showing, and they're not, you know what I'm saying? They're not trying to hide that in any way. And it just keeps progressively getting worse. So it's like, as us, as Black men, I'm saying, how do we move better? How do we be, like, you know what I'm saying? How can we be safer than what we are already trying to be, for one? And then for two, it's like the babies, the kids, you know what I'm saying? Like, I could only imagine as a parent what precautions they're taking, because shit like this is going on every other day, everywhere. So yeah, it's just crazy.
More than just every other day. Remember, we brought up the statistic that there have been more mass shootings in 2022 alone than there have been days this year. So I think that just kind of speaks volume to the systemic and systematic changes that need to occur. Not just for today, but in the future also. And I don't know, it's a lot of uncertainty, you know, a lot of uncharted territories that we're walking into, not just as a culture, but just as a complete society. You know what I'm saying? We've also expressed other countries, they don't go through this. They don't go through a bunch of mass shootings and, you know, killings and brutalities and things of that nature, you know, but I don't know, man. To answer your question, we just got to continue to cover our bases. That's the most we can do. Protect our home, protect ourselves, protect our loved ones.
Yeah. I think I have brought this up on a pod before, but I still stand on it. I feel like we as a people need to I guess, envision and also live as Marcus Garvey was definitely trying to teach us, and create our own somewhere else that is strictly for us, by us. Because I think that'll be the only way that we see a change, a change in just, you know what I'm saying, in everyday life. But that's my two cents. Obviously, you know what I'm saying, is a lot easier said than done, because that would take us coming together.
Everybody back as Garveyites.
Yeah. Exactly. So, yeah, like I said, once again, shout outs, the condolences and prayers to all of those families that were affected in Illinois.
Yeah, I didn't mean to serious this out, though. You can pivot and take us in another direction, though, King.
Let me see. I mean, I guess we could start with giving shout outs to the boys, to the fam. I know you went to the O'Barron pop up this past.
Yes, sir.
You know what I'm saying? Yes, tell me how that was. I talked to my boy a little bit, but you know what I'm saying? Tell me how it went.
Yeah, I went to the Beer Dega this past weekend. Shout out to Husani, shout out Tev, shout out to the whole gang, man. But yeah, it was a vibe, dog. Like per usual, you know what I'm saying? Great environment, luxurious people, dope merch, drinks, you know, everything was just illustrious as always with O'Barron. So shout out to that brand. If y'all haven't copped, you know, y'all need to. Simple as that, cut different. So
did you shop?
I got a couple of drinks. I got a couple of drinks this time around. You know me. I always support O'Barron. This time my pocket's been on a little dry, but
I feel you.
But
I did get a chance to talk to him about the brick and mortar that they about to get. You know what I'm saying? The announcement that they made at the end of it, they actually signed the paperwork for the commercial license and everything like that. So
right, that's huge also. Big shout out.
That's crazy, bro. Like honestly, that's like that's so fire to me. Just being able to like go from where they started and now actually having like their own spot for people to pull up and show love and shop and just whatever. And I know it's gonna be a vibe. So definitely a shout out to them boys. Happy belated to Husani as well. And you know, Tev family. I just wanted to see how that vibe was because I know I missed it. I've made all the other ones. This was exactly the first time that, you know, I didn't get a chance to pop out to that one and show love personally or in person. But
right. I've been the one I'll always remember was the Live Different. You know what I'm saying? That one was just like, I don't know, monumental, not just for us, but just for, I feel like for their entire brand and everybody who was, you know, had a hand involved in that process.
Right.
That was phenomenal. That was a great time to be outside.
Yeah, no, that'll forever be a memory. That'll forever be something that I cherish because, you know what I'm saying, like you said, for us, it was monumental, but for them as well, us being able to collaborate and just like do what we did, made strides in our industry, but as well as theirs. And the shit was fun as fuck. You know what I'm saying? I was talking my shit. You was talking your shit. that's all it could be. The best thing. Let me see. Okay. So I got a couple like bullshit questions. You know what I'm saying? Nothing too crazy. I had kind of pre-screened these with the shorty that I'm
talking pre-screened.
Yeah. I'd like to make sure that they was a aight, because I ain't wanna get you in trouble. You know what I'm saying? Cause they are a little
background check.
Yeah. They are a little risky, I don't know. So we'll start it off on some lighthearted before we get into some bullshit. You know what I'm saying? We'll start off with some lighthearted. Answer this question for me, right? Mm-hmm. Would you rather cheat on your girl or snitch on your homie? See what I'm saying? That's why I had to pre-screen it. She answered this question with the quickness and gave it to me. I had to take it on the chin.
What was her rebuttal?
She said she's not snitching on her homie, bro. She said she's not snitching. I was like, damn. So we in a relationship, like if we locked in, I mean, for like a good year plus type and damn near marriage, damn near like I'm your person. She's like, nigga, I'm not snitching on my homie. I was like, I mean, same way too, though.
As her partner, how do you feel about that, you know, that situation?
Listen, I am a very, very hard advocate on ask no questions, tell no lies. You feel me? So I'm choosing my guy. That's my lady. And I, you know what I'm saying? I feel for you. I got you. But listen, I'm not the cheating type for one, but bro, how long we been rocking? How long we been rocking, bro?
Yeah.
Come on. Honestly,
I'd rather die. I'm not cheating on my girl. Yeah. I'm not snitching on my homie. It's simple as that.
Bro.
Shit, give me the charge. Conspiracy, RICO.
I'll take that. Nah, I like that answer because that shit is honestly an impossible situation, but I can't do it. I can't do it. And it made it easier because she answered the way she answered first. So I was like, shit, say less.
Yeah, because both are demoralizing and just devastating. I can never snitch on gang because
can't do it.
You know what I'm saying?
It's my man, 100 grand. Come on now.
And if that's your lady, just like how you said, if that's your partner, if that's your person, then
no. So when you with your lady, and I'm sure y'all go chop it up, ask her. I want to see what she's gonna say. Cause when I tell you my lady answered that motherfucker with the quickness, like I was expecting her to like, I was expecting her to dress it up, make it look pretty for me. Nah. She said, ain't nothing, we not.
Kept it a honcho,
bro. What a whole bean! That shit was so crazy. But nah, I just wanted to get your.
All right, give me a harder question than that.
Harder question. Let me see. Okay, actually, this is a good one. I don't know if we talked about this or not. But how do you expect your friends to greet your girl and vice versa, bro?
Break that down. Elaborate more on that. What do you mean?
So I'm gonna put it so. Okay, situational. Like, let's say, like this past weekend, my lady had a brunch, right? She was going to brunch, and it was nothing but her girlfriends and maybe, like, her gay guy best friends or whatever. And I'm pulling up by my lonely to meet her, but to hang out with everybody just so, you know what I'm saying, we get a little feel. This is the first time that I'm meeting her people type shit. I walk in. How do you expect the friends to greet them, or how do you expect me to greet them? You feel me? Like, am I dapping? Are we pounding? Are we side hugging it? Are we, you was hot, was popping? Like, you know what I'm saying? What's the go? You feel me?
I think every dynamic your girl has with each friend is very different. So it kind of bases itself on that. So you may have the friend that, all right, it's just a dap, but like, what up, bro? But it might be the friend, you know, they might get the side hug. I'm saying the side hug. Nothing salacious, nothing egregious, you know what I mean? So I don't know. I feel like it's a respect thing. You know what I mean? Every dynamic of a friendship is different on each party's part.
What's egregious? Like,
I mean, you ain't gonna grab a girl by the ass. You're not gonna
what? Right. Yeah, it's over with. Facts. Okay. But, I told her, I was like, honestly,
put it like this, as a man, if you're hugging her friends, mm-hmm. your hands should never like go anywhere
in
the for waist or down. Like that's
right.
Has to be back.
Straight back. Really? Nah, really though, if you my man's 100 grand, like, you know what I'm saying? We've been rocking. I expect you to maybe hit her with the side hug, but if you hugging my shorty chest to chest, I'm looking at you funny. I'm not gonna hold you.
It better be near the shoulders.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying?
Shoulder blades. Like,
how are you today?
Right. Yeah,
come on. Really? Y'all just dap it up, you know what I'm saying? And keep it pushing. Right. Hey, how you doing? It was good. Nice to see you. Type shit. But nah, I just wanted to see what's too far. Cause then she was saying, like, for me and her friends for the first time, it's like, I can't that hug, if I do hug, it can't be too long. You know what I'm saying? It got to be a touch and go.
Let's take it to distance. Let me go on the ledge. Do you trust all your friends with your girl? Like, let's say if like you were not at the spot or whatever, and she's there and all your close homies are there. You trust all of them?
Yes. Yes, because... One, I'm not calling all of them my guys. You know what I'm saying? They may be acquaintances. It's levels to it, right? Like, they may be acquaintances, they may be like cool, or they could be like that's family type shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's my bro. So like, if it's bros at the crib and maybe my lady is just like, maybe we live together, maybe me and my lady live together and it's bros at the crib, I trust all of them to like, hey, how you doing? Be respectful. Maybe she, you know what I'm saying, offers them something to drink or whatever, like vice versa. Maybe they, you know what I'm saying, just making sure she good. But outside of that, like, yeah, I trust all my guys. Now, what I say is, if I have an acquaintance coming to the crib, and she's there by herself and I'm not there yet, I'm gonna just be like, hey, bro,
nervous.
Wait, nah, I'm gonna just be like, bro, like, I'm on my way. I'm not far. Just wait in the car until I get there type shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, or like, yeah, listen.
My lady, I don't know why this is funny.
Like, and it's really because it's more for her than it is for me. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want her to feel uncomfortable with a nigga in the crib type shit. Exactly. So whoever he is to me really doesn't matter. It's just the fact that, like, I don't even want to put them in that situation to where she says, oh, your homeboy was, or they say, yo, your lady was a little too, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want to put either one of them in that situation. So it just depends on how she is for real. But yeah, if you a bro, I trust you enough. Cause I wouldn't call you a bro otherwise. You know what I'm saying? I wouldn't give you that title, cause that comes with a lot from me as a man, and especially like how I move now, that holds a lot of weight.
Absolutely.
Do you answer the question?
What?
Answer your own question. Do you trust all the bros?
Oh, of course. I mean, that for one, I mean, that list is very short.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about 3-4 people, you included. Yeah. So I don't have to question it. That never crosses my mind. I'm always comfortable on that. But I don't know. I agree. Like, you know, if it's acquaintance, it's a little bit different because for one, I'm worried about her safety. So if this is not somebody I occasionally kick it with all the time, or, you know, I don't invite this person to the crib at all, I'm definitely going to try to be there in that moment. But
no doubt.
I mean, if you gang and you close family, I'm not really worried about it.
Yeah. Facts. Also, I feel like I'm probably not, if I know me and my shorty live together, or we're like always together at my spot, I'm gonna put my lady and my guys like in the same environment outside of the crib first before I'm like, okay, you know what I'm saying, you can come kick it with my lady at the crib or whatever. Because I definitely don't want it to be one of them occasions where, you know what I'm saying, she's just moseying around the house, but she got her ass out and my boy in there. You feel me? I'm gonna be mad as fuck. Like, dog, close your eyes, nigga. Or like, you know what I'm saying? Or babe, why are you like, yo,
chill? Yeah, I think the first when you be addressing your girl, like, all right.
Yeah, like, I'm not gonna be mad at my boy. I'm gonna be like, just like, look away, dog. Like, chill out. But like, I'm gonna be like, babe, like, I know you heard this grown ass man in the kitchen, bro. Why you got your ass out? But like, I don't want it to be that type of situation regardless. Like, I'm trying to avoid that at all costs. So really, like, I'm gonna make sure that they're comfortable around each other, like outside of the crib before I invite him to the crib, or before, like, you know what I'm saying, she comes over and we all just like cool and type shit. So yeah, it's just, I guess it's situational. I guess enough of my bullshit. What's up?
I was gonna add to it. I was gonna say, can I keep taking it a step further?
Come on, what's happening?
Let's talk about cohabitation. Living with your partner before marriage.
Okay, break it down to what extent.
I guess how do you feel about it? Because, or let me, a better question is, how long does it take for you to make that executive decision to say, okay, I'm willing to live in with my partner before we for real tie the knot and grow old together? What does that look like for you? And I know everybody's time frame looks different, because some people can move together after 2 years, 4 years, like everybody's different.
Mm-hmm.
But for you, is it a matter of time or is it a feeling?
So for me, that's a hard question, because you know my past, you know my history. And I've actually already lived with two of my girlfriends before. And you know how that shit ended. we ain't gonna say no name.
I'm not trying to laugh about it, but
nah, hey, I'm at that point in my life where I can laugh about it. Like, I'm not still upset about the bullshit, the dumbass arguments, or just whatever the case was. But like, I feel like in my older age, in my older maturity, I think it's probably like a good mix of both. Because I've done it before, I'm not gonna do it too soon now. So it's, yes, it's timing, but it's also like, we really got to be like locked in. And like, I thought that I was like there with the ones that I did live with. But just like looking back on the relationship and what what the actual relationship was. Like, you know what I'm saying? I've had my toxic relationship.
I think everybody has.
Yeah, I've had my relationship where I was trying to do more of the catering, and that shit didn't go as well as I wanted it to. I've had my relationship where, like, you get what I'm saying. Right. So it's a healthy mixture, an even mixture of both, because I don't know what time frame that is, because, like, with each relationship that I've had, we've grown exponentially closer or farther away from each other, like in a very short amount of time. Like, my longest relationship was, I want to say, like, 3 years, 3.5 years.
Damn.
But we moved in with each other, like, within almost like inside of a year, we moved in with each other. And that one was the one that I lived with in Dunwoody, you know what I'm saying? That was that one.
Hey, the shots fired.
Hey, I don't give a damn.
Nobody catching strays.
Hey, exactly. Hey, these bullets don't got no names on them. But yeah, so it kind of depends on where we're at, I guess, in the relationship. Cause shit, the one that I'm fucking with now, like, you know what I'm saying, we're great, we cool. And that's not on my mind, like, moving in together or anything like that, like, right now. But at the same time, it's like, I don't know how to judge that, because it's only been a very short amount of time. But Shorty's met my mom, bro. She's talked to my aunt. Like, she's met my friends, all that type of shit. So
are you saying it's a collection or a combination of time and just having that foundation with that person and just building rapport, camaraderie, having those conversations early and kind of going through y'all frustrations, like, off bat? Because I don't know. I feel like if you wait longer down the road, it's not going to be as advantageous, like, as it would.
I don't know. I think that point might be situational. You know what I'm saying? Depending on how advantageous it is, just because of who you are as people individually, and then, like, what you guys create together. So depending on, like, how y'all grow, depending on, like, you know what I'm saying, what y'all's goals are, what y'all plan on the future looking like. It doesn't matter if it takes you 10 years to move in together. It doesn't matter if it takes you 6 months to move in together. I feel like it's just, like, one of those things where everything matters. You know what I'm saying? Everything matters. And maybe I'll walk it back to even say, maybe it's not a healthy medium. Maybe it's not, like, the same. Maybe it's more of, like, the 80-20, not even 80-20, 70-30, more foundationally 70. And then, you know what I'm saying, the 30 being time. Yeah, maybe it's like that for me. But it's not one.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
Yeah, so it just depends. But what about you, though? Because I need to, I feel like my
I don't know if mine is 70-30. Mm-hmm. Maybe, I don't know, maybe 80-20.
Okay, which one, though? Foundation or time?
80% foundation, 20% time. And
okay,
I don't know. I feel like you just have to connect with your partner on a different type of level to get to that understanding that y'all are going to move in together. Because if y'all can't stand each other for 5 minutes or a day or two, how are y'all going to get by waking up to each other every single day for the next X amount of years?
So,
and then I was just going to say, especially you got to take in consideration now, more than ever, is the economy. Because you can fuck around and move in with somebody, be miserable, and then you're stuck there. You have no other home. You have no other safety net you can go to. So now you're miserable, you're struggling, and you hate your job, and this is not going good. And so it's just, like, a lot of different, I guess, rabbit holes you can go down with when it comes to that, when it comes to moving in with somebody. So you gotta weigh out the pros and cons, and you gotta make the best decision.
I think that there are definitely a lot of variables that go into that. But I feel like at the same time too, though, what makes it, like, a slippery slope is the fact that, like, I truly believe that you don't really know a person for real until you live with them. You know what I'm saying? Like, and that goes for anybody, relationship or not. Like, me and you could live together and we so goddamn close now, but, like, if I move in with you and I just don't like the way you live, like, that could really, like, impede on our friendship. So in a relationship, it's like, you kind of need it. I would say, I don't want to say before marriage, but, like, if you are the type of person that believes in, you know what I'm saying, the matrimony, you know what I'm saying, you only plan on getting married once, you plan on finding your person, I feel like that's something you need to know beforehand. Because if, you know what I'm saying, I feel like this lady is my person, but she lived like a slob, I'm gonna be mad as hell, because I'm not like that. Like, I'm a very neat person. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I think another one too, like, in your fortress that you have with your partner, it has to be spacious enough. I know beggars can't be choosers because everybody's in a different financial situation and life situation. So you can only get what you can afford, right? But if I was able, you know, God willing to, you know, once I get there to have that, I need some space in the crib too. I need at least a 4-bedroom. I need to have my own man cave, something to just
Big facts.
Get my me time. I see you every day. I'm already at work. Like, let me just have my me time where, I don't know, maybe computer, video games, you know, typical guy shit, sports, same old, same old. It doesn't take much to appease us.
No, it doesn't. But that also goes into, like, you know what I'm saying, just the mental wellness. Like, if we arguing and, you know what I'm saying, I just need some time to de-stress, decompress, I'm not going to go outside the crib and look for somebody else to talk to. I'm gonna go downstairs in the basement. I'm gonna play Call of Duty for a couple hours. Don't distract me. Don't come in. Like, just leave me alone. Let me do what I got to do. And then we'll circle back and we'll talk about it whenever we're going to talk about it, whatever. But no, that's definitely necessary for sure. I feel you. That's a good question. That is definitely a good question.
Did we have any topics? I'm gonna be honest with you. I don't have topics of current events that have happened. And I don't know if it's because I haven't been on social media or I don't know.
I have one that I want to talk about, and I know we might argue about it. But that's really the only topic that I had for real. I got a couple others on the list that we could probably, you know what I'm saying, go for. But this one, and I know you've seen it, who's winning in the verses? Breezy or Usher?
Can we retire verses?
Nope.
Can we
just because this right here is one of the ones that I asked for. All the other ones I didn't ask for, but this is what I asked for. So I need to know where you're going. I need to know what side you on, bro.
It's tough. And I feel like if they ever did a versus, I know it sounds cliche and media trained, but I want to see a celebration of music. Honestly, I really do, because let's be honest, we know Usher's legacy. We know it's cemented. It's forever there. He's one of the GOATs to ever do it in R&B. You know what I'm saying? Like, he has the Confessions. He has the Let It Burn. He has the Climax, Love in This Club. He has everything. He has Infinity Stones. Chris Brown, he has classics as well. I just think he's still trying to continue to build his persona, to continue to build his mountain. Because at first, everybody's saying, this is the next Michael Jackson. This is the next, you know what I'm saying, pop star of our generation, da da da. And to an extent, he is, but he's not Michael Jackson. It's Chris Brown, and then it's Michael Jackson.
You think so?
Yeah, I mean, and I say that in the most respectful way. Like, we're talking about arguably one of the best, if not the best artists ever in music history. So again, you falling short from Michael Jackson is not horrendous. That's not horrible. Like, again, he's still a phenomenal talent. He's a phenomenal artist. So I don't know. I just feel like if it came down to it, it would be really close. It can go either way. It depends on format of how they play their discography. It depends on I don't want to say semantics, but the aesthetics of how the show would be done. Because, you know, with Breezy, he's coming out with every hit song he has, but he moonwalking and flipping and doing a and shit like that. You know what I'm saying? Usher, I don't know if Usher still got that young man in him still. You know what I'm saying? To bust a quick little move.
Listen, King. Respectfully, I'm gonna have to disagree with everything you just said.
You can
tell me. Yeah, you can tell me I'm on Gilligan, but I feel like, honestly, there hasn't been too many other things outside of Confessions that has been this close. Look at my hands now, this close to Michael Jackson. Okay, I don't think Breezy is a unicorn. Breezy is a legend. Breezy is a titan. But Usher came first.
So tell me, we obviously know Confessions, automatic point. Is Love Anything in the Club?
Anything on My Way. I'm going back to old Usher. Anything on My Way. I will give you Love in This Club. That's what you said.
I'm just thinking of all the, you know what I'm saying, the charting popular records that he would put in his 20, because he doesn't even have to play that if he didn't want to, but I just know that was very pinnacle at one point of the peak of Usher's career, that song. So
I mean, okay, but let's be honest too though. We're not sticking to their only discography. Their own discography, you know what I'm saying? From everyone that Usher has written for, come on now.
Okay, I'm gonna concur with that. He can get into a different writing bag for sure.
Come on now.
Features, I don't know. Breezy has some, he has a pretty egalitarian list.
No, he does.
Let's not get it twisted.
And it's very extensive. You know what I'm saying? That motherfucker goes on for days, but I just feel like they aren't in terms of bigger. I don't think he's beating Usher, bro. I'm not saying it's a landslide at all. And I do think Usher does have
an end. It's, I don't mean to cut you off, but it's literally the chronology of how they do their records. That's what it solely comes down to, because Usher can go up there and lay an egg. And speaking of Usher, I know he put out an NPR performance. Was it NPR, excuse me, or Tiny Desk?
Or yeah, Tiny Desk.
By NPR.
Tiny Desk, yeah.
Okay. I'm still trying to take a gander at that also. I seen that on my timeline the other day. Hey, not timeline, but on the YouTube, you know, what you've missed, the catch up. The algorithms swear they be knowing me. I'm going off on a tangent. Sometimes they be knowing me. They know I want to see that Tiny Desk. So that's why they put that in me.
Nah, facts. I will say he still has it. You know what I'm saying? Vocally, he has not missed a beat. And to your point on whether or not he can get on stage and bust a move, that man is skating at Cascade every fucking weekend, bro.
You're right.
I think he definitely has the stamina in him and the bandwidth to because let's not get it twisted. A lot of those, you know what I'm saying, choreographed performances, a lot of those moves came from Usher. And if I'm not mistaken, he is the pinnacle of dancing in the rain. Okay. That man Usher is getting that off every time, bro. But I don't know. That's my take. I feel like Usher's taking that one, dog. And I just wanted to see where he was at.
If I had to score it, Usher very close, maybe 11-9 by one round. Because again, he just has those staples, and not just his discography, but in our culture. When you go to You Remind Me, when you go to Climax, You Got It Bad, My Boo, Nice and Slow, You Don't Have to Call.
Bro, what? Come on.
She's caught up.
Banger, banger, banger. That's what you just said to me. Banger, banger after banger. Come on.
So
I'll give you anything off of 8701. I'm taking it back, bro. Like 01, you know what I'm saying? 05, 97 type shit. Like, I don't know.
I don't know. I'm just ready to lay versus to rest. Honestly, I'm very tired of it. After the soft shoe, and I seen a few weeks prior to the Omarion, I'm Gucci.
Yeah,
I'm Gucci. I didn't even watch it. I just seen the highlights, and the highlights were enough for me.
You didn't need. Yeah, exactly. You didn't need to watch.
Then again, I'm still hearing the whispers of Drake and Kanye versus, like, lay it to rest. And even that versus, I got Ye. I have Ye respectfully. Again, Ye is another one of those. He's a unicorn. But again, when you talk about his penmanship, when you're talking about his production bag, that's something that Drake can't run to. You know what I'm saying? He may have the big names. He may have some of the new age classics. But what production can you say is beating a Ye record that he produced for Hove? Or what he got with Pharrell? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just very monstrous. It can get very nasty very quickly.
Honestly, I might be speaking too soon, but what I would say is I don't think that I want another versus. I'm just the R&B head, and Usher is like, we grew up with him. So we grew up with CB as well, but you know what I'm saying?
Oh, you know they're going to keep giving us verses. You already know that. That's going to be in continuation. They're not going to let that rest.
I am If they make this a thing, if this is a real versus, that's probably be the last one that I watch. And I promise, listen, you got my word, I'll put a dollar in the jar every time, but I promise it's the last time I'm bringing it up. But yeah, nah, enough about that. Any other music? I know you were telling me about the Beano joint that dropped. Was there anything else that you had, you know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Beano dropped a few, not a few. He dropped an album, 13 tracks. It was a 30 minute. So I don't know if that's considered an EP or, but listen to the first half. It was cool. It was cool. That's the only thing, that music that came out for me that I seen. I just been continuing to rock out to, well, Lupe. I know we kind of touched on Lupe's album a week or so ago, but on Fornem, the last song on that album, listen to that. I need you to take a gander at that, bro.
Word.
Okay. That's that shit. Breezy, I'm hearing a lot of mixed reviews on it. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I'm still continuing to rock out to that.
So supposedly he's dropping a deluxe on Friday.
Yeah, it's probably gonna have 5,000 songs on there.
So actually, what I've seen is just seven or eight, I think. And it's only two features. It's an Anderson .Paak feature, and I can't remember the other one, but I think it's 23, 24 on this one, on the original. It said to have 33 on the next, on the deluxe.
Another thing that kind of peeved me as of recent is people don't acknowledge the last couple albums that Chris Brown dropped. The joke has always been, you know, he's dropped 5,000 songs, as I said a couple seconds ago, but those are some quality projects. Majority of those records are bangers. They have strong replay value.
I think I can only give you maybe like one or two joints that CB has given us that I'm not really going back to.
It was the Graffiti album. That was hot garbage.
Which one?
Graffiti.
Oh, yeah. He said hot garbage. Yeah.
Dumpster fire, bro. For real.
Yeah, never going back to that one.
I mean, he had I Can Transform You and Crawl on there. If you're into those, I'm never hopping in the whip. I Can Transform You.
I'm not playing that. And there was what, 21 songs on that joint? No, I'm not going back to. You could keep Fortune, in my opinion, too.
Really?
I don't want it.
Turn Up the Music, Till I Die, Mirage. That song with Nas was incredible. Don't Judge Me, Sweet Love, Stuck on Stupid, Don't Wake Me Up. I don't know, man.
I'm not vibing to Don't Wake Me Up. I'm not listening to that.
Well, yeah, that was more for the poppy piece out there.
Mirage is cool, maybe. I'm not vibing to Turn Up the Music. Baseline.
You're definitely doing the Turn Up the Music dance in the car.
That shit is so cut, bro. I can't. Let me see. Strip, maybe. That's for sure. I'll give you that. That's a classic. But yeah, nah, it's not too many off of that joint. And then I want to say Fan of a Fan.
You talking about with Tyga?
Yeah.
Bro, I don't know.
It's not too many on that. Like, replay value. Like, I'm not saying it's a trash album. Replay value, I'm not really going back to.
Okay. I don't know. I just feel like that was a different era for music also. You know, that's when people were doing, quote-unquote, spinoffs and doing their, you know, solo. Not even solo, but just kind of, all right, let me mess with the underground, then let me come back mainstream, then let me shift to a new sound of music. I don't know. I was talking to somebody earlier and I was just saying I'm ready for music to recreate itself again. This is around the time where I feel like the sound of trap, it will always be here, but I'm trying to see what's next.
So when you say recreate, you mean just like something that we haven't experienced yet, or
either that, so it can be a new, it can definitely, yeah, it can be a new genre of music in itself, or it can just kind of be bringing back some kind of old relevancy of music. So everybody's been on dance lately, from Beyonce dropping, Drake, somebody else has dropped another dance track as of lately, but I don't know. I'm just curious to see like what's that look like in the next couple years. Everybody's shifting off the drill sound because that was very heavy. In Chicago and New York and the UK, but yeah, I don't know. I'm just ready to see what's next.
I got you. I think so. As far as I know, the only two albums that I'm really like looking forward to, Brent, he's dropping I think this week,
I have a scorching hot take for that. I feel like the album's gonna be trash on Friday.
Ooh, why? Why are you doing this? Is Brent now? Come on.
I just haven't been elated to like hear his music as of lately, man. Like I know he dropped a record. I know he dropped a record last Friday, right? And it didn't get the best reviews. So I was already kind of just
That one, I will say, I wasn't crazy about. I know exactly which one you're talking about. Me and my lady was listening to it in the car. So I'll give you that. But I feel like the project overall, I don't know. Because the snippet that he gave me, it kind of got me excited.
But let's keep it a bug. Every snippet any artist drops, it sounds hard. They're going to take the best 5 to 7 seconds of the song. And here you go, Instagram.
You know that. You know that for sure. But I don't know.
That doesn't fool me anymore. That doesn't fool me.
I have very high expectations for Brent because one, it's been a minute since we got a project. You know what I'm saying? We should have got more than what we got for him from his last drop. So I'm definitely intrigued just to hear that. And then this, he hasn't announced when, but JID dropping a Forever Story. And that I've been waiting for, you know what I'm saying, ever for a good minute. He's been playing with me, but pause. But yeah. That was really all that I have for music as well. I've been listening to the same shit too. I'm still on this West Side Boogie joint. Still on this Loot joint.
To touch on Brent Faiyaz again, I think he had his moment in time of when he was the hot artist, quote unquote, when he was at his peak, when he dropped that last tape. And then just kind of after that, I know it's going to be hard to follow up. That's damn near a classic to me. If you let it age a little bit more, that's probably one of the better R&B albums that we've gotten in the past few years. But
for sure.
I don't know. I feel like after that, his time has kind of just diminished a little bit. The limelight, I feel like it's kind of been shifted to the Lucky Days, Aaron Ray. Okay.
So you think we passed the toxic tunes. We over that stage in music is what you're saying.
Not even past the toxic stage. You know how fickle fans are. You know what I mean? They'll be on hot and upcoming artists. And then once they put out their biggest project or what everybody's been waiting for, okay, what's next? You know what I'm saying? Don't give us no microwave shit.
I got you. Okay. Cool.
Versus Lucky Day, he has one of the best R&B albums of the year. Aaron Ray, to me, I know you say he wasn't really crazy about every single track on there. He has damn near no skips on that project for me. Blast has been making the same exact music for the past 3 to 4 years, you know, which is totally okay. Not knocking it, respectfully. I love it. I thoroughly enjoy it. You know what I'm saying? He had a great album. So it's other R&B acts that we can definitely mention in the conversation now versus a few years back when Brent was the hot commodity, when he was like, he still is popping, but you get what I'm saying. It wasn't as many different male artists out here killing it as it is right now.
I got you. Okay. Hold on. Let's circle back to though, because you said something that I'm very, very interested
in. What?
Lucky Day, the best R&B album of the year?
One of the best.
Okay. All right. Just had to make sure. Okay. Interesting.
Who are you putting
on? I'm not mad at that because I thoroughly enjoyed the album too. I didn't put my list together yet. Mm-hmm. I haven't put, you know what I'm saying? And we got a whole nother quarter to go. I feel like another unicorn is going to drop. R&B unicorn is going to drop. I don't know who, but we'll see. And then
I believe this is one of the best years in music as well. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. We've had a ton of heavy hitters drop music.
Mm-hmm.
Beyonce is back. Drake, Kendrick Lamar.
Yeah.
Boogie. Everybody's just been on their shit, man. And they've been holding on to this music probably since COVID has begun. When people were quarantined, they were working. They were in the stew. They were collabing. They were working on their penmanship, working on their craft. So it's just beautiful to see it come to fruition, the art that they've been holding on to so long. I've been enjoying music this year. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, no, it's been a great music year. I would say that a lot of heat. A lot of good shit. I didn't even mention it too, but this LMA album is actually pretty hard.
Like, still haven't got the chance to sit down and listen to it. LMA was another one of those. It was on fire, scorching from Dripping on You.
Mm-hmm.
Just after that, for me, the album was dope, but
yeah, Nah, trust me when I tell you that there are some bangers on this joint. And there's not too many features. It's only, she got a Lotto feature, a Roddy Ricch feature, and she actually has a Lucky Day feature too. Mm. But nah, I fuck with it. It's cool. If you do get some time, definitely take a gander at that. Let me know how you feel.
Can I stay scorching real quick?
Please, go ahead. Patrick Rock, ISO.
Kevin Durant.
Yeah, that was my next topic.
And hear me loud and clear, everybody who's listening to this podcast. My shout out to the ones at work, on the way to work, at the gym, coming home from the gym, mm-hmm. going to see the old lady. Whatever y'all doing, we appreciate y'all for tapping in. But Kevin Durant should never be in the same sentence as LeBron James ever again when it comes to being an all-time great.
Let's unpack this. Why are you feeling this way?
Kevin Durant is not in the top five to me of all time. And I don't even think he's in the top 10. Top 15, I can potentially give you. But at this point, I have Steph Curry up there higher. Of course, LeBron James. Of course, the Michael Jordans. The Kobe Bryants. Mm-hmm. Magic Johnson.
Okay. Kareem. Are we going
Shaq, I can damn near say I might just throw Shaq in there. You know what I'm saying? Like, I get Kevin Durant is a better scorer, maybe more efficient, better free throw shooter. But if I'm taking in the factor of impact and how much dominance Shaquille O'Neal had, Kevin Durant's not in that. And I don't know.
You giving him top 15 at the greatest top
15. And I can't wait. Well, I can't say it. Let me moonwalk a little bit because I know people about to go crazy. Kevin Durant is dominant. Let me say that. Nobody can stop Kevin Durant. Let me not take away from that. He still deserves his flowers for sure. He is probably one of the most prolific scorers I've ever seen in basketball. Mm-hmm. So let me not take that away from him. But if I'm judging off of accolades.
Okay. That's what I was going to get at. Because why do you feel that he's not? Is it because he hasn't put enough time in to beat the record?
He's put more than enough time in, bro. I just think it's and when it comes to leadership, mm-hmm. he lacks that. And again, if I'm looking at his resume, man, you were in OKC for almost a decade, right? People want to blame it on Westbrook. Okay, cool, dandy. You go to state, you learn how to win, you learn how to join a team and play together. You win back-to-back championships. You lose next year, you're out. So you go to Brooklyn where you form your own team. You know what I'm saying? You get your best friend with Kyrie Irving. You pick your own head coach. You picked everybody else that signed a veteran's minimum to get on the roster to help you out to seek a championship. And ever since you and Kyrie has got there, it's been a disaster. You know what I'm saying? It's been a disaster on both your ends. So I just think you wanting out because, I'm frustrated. It's been two, three, seasons, almost four seasons, and I haven't gotten what I wanted. You know, every player on here is not what I was anticipating. I want out. But no, you were able to formulate this team on your own, at least, or have some kind of say-so. So don't just bail. You know what I'm saying? And the conversation, I don't mean if I'm long-winded here, but people want to say LeBron did the same thing. LeBron went to a Miami team that lost in the first round that year. Kevin Durant joined a 73-9 team. You know what I'm saying? Golden State was winning a championship before Kevin Durant got there, and they're winning some after. Mm-hmm. So that they're a dynasty. They're forever a dynasty with or without Kevin Durant. That is a team that will go down in books as arguably one of the greatest teams. But I'm kind of jumping all over the place here. I just said all that to say, man, I just think it's a big separation when it comes to LeBron James and Kevin Durant. And that's okay. That's totally okay. I'm not discrediting Kevin Durant. I'm not saying he isn't one of the greatest players of our time, but mm-hmm. to me, he's more top. If I had to write down a list, I would probably put him 11th best player of all time. He may almost just be cracking the top 10. We got to see how these next couple years shake out for him and his legacy. But it's other honorable mentions up there before KD.
Okay. Where is he going? Is he coming out here? Is he
going to this? And that's what the rumors have been. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, and D-Book just signed a massive contract. Mm-hmm. So I'm not seeing Phoenix dealing their best youngest player on the roster, obviously, you know what I'm saying, to the Brooklyn Nets team. But apparently Brooklyn wanted Kevin wanted D-Book in exchange for Kevin Durant and more. And rightfully so. Like, if you're going to trade Kevin Durant somewhere, I want every single player on your bench. I want the GM. I want the GM's girlfriend. I want the house. I need to repo y'all cars. I need everything possible for Kevin Durant. So I don't blame him there, but I don't know. Realistically, I can see him in Miami because they may have more available pieces they're willing to trade away compared to Phoenix.
Okay. Okay. You don't see him going back to go to state. That's not,
I think those rumors also, but I think from the terms of how the Golden State's been playing ball lately, you know, obviously they just came off a championship, and just seeing how much camaraderie and foundation they have, they really enjoy playing together as a team, as a unit. You can tell that they have strong friendship, not just on the court, but off the court as well. So I think you add Kevin Durant back into that situation, that can become a little bit toxic. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying KD is a toxic player, but he stirs up the pot. He's very emotional. He speaks what's on his mind. And, you know, he's a ticking bomb. Let's be honest. If we're just basing it off his career, you know what I'm saying? Things get spicy when it comes to Kevin Durant. So I just think from Golden State standpoint, they're like, we don't need you. We won twice without you. You know what I'm saying? So what's another time? Klay is going to be better than ever next year. He has a whole season a whole summer to continue to work on his game, get back to the normal Klay that we're used to seeing. Steph Curry is Steph Curry. You know what I'm saying? Finals MVP, finally. We know where he's going when he retires. So just seeing their whole team as an entire Jordan Poole, I think the Warriors are fine right now. I feel like they're not really worried about adding Kevin Durant back to the roster. They don't need him.
Okay, okay. Interesting take. Interesting take. I think he's coming to the Suns. Yeah. I think he is. I feel like, one, he said that he wants to. You know what I'm saying? And the player that is D-Book, I feel like that would be an amazing matchup. That would be an amazing team. But I think it all just comes down to cap space for real. Outside of that, like, I don't see him going anywhere. It's like, maybe, like, yeah, Miami makes sense too.
I'm not mad at the Butler Durant, you know, possibility. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That sounds like a crazy team. Tyler Hero coming off the bench. I know they did lose PJ Tucker. But I don't know. I feel like, you know, Miami is a very, very pedigree team. You know what I'm saying? They're very tenacious. They're in your face all the time. Eric Spoelstra is hell of a coach. But I don't know. I think Kevin Durant, if he weighs out both, it's going to be a tough decision. You know, Chris Paul is towards the end of his career. So there's really no one telling how much left he has in the tank, because he kind of just ran dry last season, as he did in the finals the year prior. So these are things to weigh out if I'm Kevin Durant.
No, you're definitely right. You're definitely right. I'm excited to see what happens, because this season will definitely be another one to watch. I think we'll have another good championship series as well. So,
hey, listen, KD, if you listening, you're top 10, but you probably 10, and that's okay.
He's definitely listening, and he's hitting your jack. He's definitely hitting your jack.
That's okay.
I'll let you have that one. I'm gonna let you.
I mean, do you think realistically he's top 10?
No.
Top 15?
No.
Wow. Top 20?
Yes, maybe. Okay. Yes.
Wow.
I give you 20, but there are a couple powerhouses that I'll put over KD as well too, though.
Am I on Gilligan when I said Shaq over KD as far as all time? Am I on Gilligan?
Impact, maybe. Yeah. No. Impact, it makes sense. But just like when you talk about
game, KD's going to have a bag. Shaq has – okay, he has post moves. That is a bag. Let's not get that mistaken. Defensively, he's a fucking destroyer.
He has a package, yeah. But
let's be real. Kevin Durant has the whole package. He can pull up from 30.
Yeah, I give you that. But I think it just depends on, like, what factors you know what I'm saying, input into that conversation, because that could go a lot of different ways, which is why I say I feel like there are a couple people that I put over KD at this moment. Because you're talking about all time. You're talking about from the logo to now. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's a lot. That's a lot. I don't know. But we'll see. And I don't think he's done yet. He has a lot left, and a lot more time left in his career. So I think a lot could possibly change with that too. So
the last thing I had also for for sports before we get off the topic. Well, DeJounte Murray, he's a Hawk now, so I wish we could have kept Kevin Herter. I liked Herter. I know a lot of people were very indifferent and didn't really care, but he hit a lot of big shots for us, not just last season, but also that playoffs run where we made it to the Eastern Conference Finals. He stepped up. But I want to mention that, and I also want to say, you know, John Wall's on your team. How you feeling about the Clippers' chances this year? You know, you got a healthy Kawhi Leonard.
Yes, sir.
Heavy vet and all-star in PG, or should I say George Paul. We got to see how he performs. And shit, now you got John Wall. Even if
all
you
I'm gonna say that
of John Wall. Go ahead.
All I'm gonna say to that is I need everybody to just go back and watch John Wall's hoop mixtapes. I need y'all to watch this smoke, like watch him really work, okay? And he's only gotten better.
Right.
That man is freaky, bro. Like, this is gonna be I'm geeked because all the players you just mentioned, it's solid as hell. It's solid as hell. So It's only, you know what I'm saying, I guess, all I can really say is we're going to have to see this because he could come out, because every team in the league has players. Every team is, you know what I'm saying, formidable in terms of a ship run. Mm-hmm. So he's going to have to definitely, you know what I'm saying, put on. He's definitely going to have to go crazy, but I think that they do have a lot bigger of a chance of going farther than what they did last season with him as an asset. So, yeah, we're going to see.
The Lakers are looking very delusional right now. I'm not sure what's going on over there.
Exactly.
I don't see them winning a championship with this roster. So, and for LeBron, this is his contract year. So he can really, you know what I'm saying, take his talents elsewhere. If he wants to go back home to Cleveland, he has the bandwidth to do it at the end of the season. If he wants to venture somewhere else at another Western team, maybe another LA team possibly. You know what I'm saying? It sounds far-fetched when I say Warriors or when I say, I don't know.
Super far-fetched. Warriors? Nah. Hey. I feel like as of now, maybe one of the last things that he's really worried about as a hooper is playing with his son. I feel like – yes, it'd have to be at, you know what I'm saying, somewhere that is such a legacy like LA. But at the same time, I feel like for the competitiveness of the game and for, you know what I'm saying, I feel like how he wants to be seen as an overall, like, top five of all time. I wouldn't even say top five. I'd say top two. But in light of where he is in his career, and I'm sure he knows, you know what I'm saying, the caliber of team that he's actually, you know what I'm saying, playing with now, I feel like he just is trying to reach certain accolades. And I don't think he would go to a team where essentially that would be, you know what I'm saying, the most, I don't even know what word to use, but him going to the Warriors, I just don't think that that's the way that he wants to play when ending out his career.
Yeah, I mean, you just never know. You know, we
that's an 82-0 team, bro. That's an 82-0 team. If LeBron goes to the Warriors,
but we live in a player league driven or league. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you're right. I don't know.
I don't know, bro. It's gonna be interesting to see. What I will say, Cleveland doesn't have a bad roster. You know what I'm saying? They made the playoffs last year, if I'm not mistaken. You know what I'm saying? They have a very, you know, young core, but I feel like they're becoming a great team and they have a future. So for the Lakers to even prey on potentially getting Kyrie Irving, it's a wild card. You don't know what you're gonna get with Kyrie. As much as, you know, he's one of my favorite players to ever play basketball, he's a wild card. He's very misunderstood, I feel like, in certain cases, but he doesn't show up on the court all the time. You got to take that into accountability when you want to throw somebody a bag, when you want to put them on a pedestal of possibly giving LA another championship. It's not easy. I know him and Bron have chemistry from winning one already together and playing several years in Cleveland, but these are different circumstances. LeBron is older in his career. Kyrie, again, is always the uncertainty of not playing, whether that's an injury or whether he wants to take a hiatus from basketball. We don't know.
So I feel like from the commissioner to the owners, you know what I'm saying? I feel like, yes, they do have a lot of power and a lot of stake in how, you know you know what I'm saying, the league runs. But at the same time, too, though, I feel like the voice of the players, especially the unicorns like LeBron's, like Kyrie's, things like that, I feel like those weigh heavily, too, on the game. So I feel like when it comes to Kyrie, I was watching an interview. I can't remember who was hosting it, but it was a Iman Shumpert interview. And he was just saying, like, Kyrie was just letting his nuts hang, bro. Like, people didn't understand that, like, he was trying to make a point, and he made that point. Now that he's back playing, it's like, I feel like the respect, like his perception from other players is just much in a much more higher respect, just because I'm saying he did that and he didn't fold. So I feel like he's a wild card for sure. But at the same time, I think if the players on whatever team that he decides to go to, or whatever team, you know what I'm saying, wants him, I feel like the players are gonna have much of a say in that. Just because, like, it's about how you play. It's about who you play with, Vaughn, all that good shit. So, I don't know. It could go either way with Kyrie, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's all I really had for sports. Did you have anything you wanted to add last minute?
No, not for sports, for real. And I really only had, like, a couple more topics on my docket, for real, you know what I'm saying? So we can either just freestyle for the rest of it, or, you know what I'm saying, if you want to cook, I'll let you, you know what I'm saying, I'll let you, you know what I'm saying, shoot from the logo, whatever.
If you can bring one nostalgic thing back from the early to mid-2000s, what would you bring back for today's society? Musically? Or if we want to talk about, you know, like a company, if we want to talk about, I don't know, pretty much anything.
Yeah. That's a great question.
I can go if you don't know one.
Yeah, you go, because I might need some time to think about that one.
This may sound very egregious, but I would say Blockbuster. That was like the highlight of my childhood. I don't know how that would work, obviously, because they all went out of business except one location now, if I'm not mistaken. There's only one Blockbuster that's still open in the United States, but I think it's somewhere out west. I think it's somewhere like far. But
no, that was a good.
It's just the highlight of my childhood was going every Friday to go rent another game or to purchase a movie. And then sometimes I wouldn't return the game.
Nah, fact, it was a couple of those.
But I don't know, just the aura of how you felt when you walked into a Blockbuster. I think if they brought that back and maybe, you know, actually configured it to something on how the kids can download games and shit like that today. I don't know. I don't really know how the logistics and legalities of that would work today, but I don't know. That's just something from, again, nostalgia that I will always cherish.
Okay, so my answer might change, but I feel like it's a very, like, blanket thing, not necessarily, like, a company per se, but I just feel like the fact that we were outside, like, it just felt a lot different as a kid. The energy of stepping outside with your boys, or you going to ball, or whatever the case is, like, having that as the forefront of, I don't even want to say like media, but I guess like entertainment, you know what I'm saying? The internet is the thing now. The internet is the most important thing, is how culture is controlled and all that good shit. But I feel like if we could just go outside again and just be like, have that same energy, have that same, like, you know what I'm saying? That same, I guess, fun about it. Like, I feel like, people started taking life way more serious. People started taking themselves way more serious when, like, the internet became, like, one of the driving forces of how we receive anything.
Right.
So that's probably my take. Maybe it'll change, though. I don't know. And the ice cream truck.
I actually seen one in my boy's neighborhood maybe about a few weeks ago, actually.
Bro, it's been a minute since I've seen ice cream.
To make those rounds.
Honestly, where? Because if it's not in the suburbs, you know what I'm saying, or in the hood, you don't really see them like that no more. I miss the ice cream trucks.
and these days, you got to be wary of them, because these ice cream trucks, they probably be putting shit in the ice cream. You just never know. They scam your card. You pay with something.
That's that bullshit too, though, because I remember, like, my mom had a relationship with the ice cream truck man. You know what I'm saying? Like, they was cool. Like, they dapped, like, they, you know what I'm saying? They was partners. So when I'm outside chasing after the ice cream truck, she not even worried. Like, oh, listen, I'm going to give you $4, $5. Go ahead and bring me back a motherfucking icy or some shit. But tell my guy I said, what's up?
That's like, the way she told you to.
Yeah, listen. $5. I'm gonna break you off this. Just make sure you bring me my shit back, and I want my change. And tell Jose I said was good. Tell Ben I said was popping.
Not tell Jose and Ben.
Yeah.
Ben and Jose's. Not Ben.
Bro, I grew up in LA, bro. I grew up in Cali. You know what I'm saying? I'm all the ice cream truck men. They was either black or Mexican, bro. It was one of the two, bro. Like, that was probably the pinnacle of my childhood too, because we go outside. Bullshit.
And Ben and Jose should have definitely took over for Ben and Jerry's.
Oh, big facts. No, big facts. Because I promise the flavors would have been way better.
Nah, Ben and Jerry's is hard though. I ain't gonna cap. They have some of the best.
It is, but then too, some of them shits just be reaching though.
And they, like, for the people too, man.
Yes, I will say that. Ben and Jerry's is definitely for the people. They definitely for the culture.
Fucking Colin Kaepernick ice cream make me feel like an upstanding citizen.
Oh, yeah, because I'm copping that every time. I may not even like it, but I'm copping that bitch. For sure, just to support. But, yeah, I don't know. Those might be my top two right now. But if I think about it, I might bring it back up for next week if I got a different question or a different answer.
Word. But, yeah, I mean that's really what I had off of my docket. It was all freestyle, to be honest.
Big facts, yeah. I don't think not too much really happened, you know what I'm saying, outside of, like, bullshit. And then, like you said, the world. But like you said too, I've taken a bit of a hiatus off of social media as well, just kind of enjoy my mental and the people around me, just kind of getting back to me, you know what I'm saying. I've been in the gym a lot too, so I've been on my own accord. That was maybe the docket.
Yeah, so we want to shout out the first timers,
the last timers,
and in betweeners.
We're coming back, man, week after week, bro. If there was none of y'all, it wouldn't be us. So we definitely appreciate y'all for coming back week after week, showing much love every way y'all do it, whenever you watch, whenever you listen, you know what I'm saying? On the way to work, in the shower, driving back from the party, whatever, you know what I'm saying? Like, all that. We really appreciate you. Excuse me. But I mean, I don't got nothing else. I don't got no sleepers or anything either. I don't got no last gems or anything. But if that's it, we can kick shit like that, bro.
Stay dangerous.
Yes, sir, Ski. Bro, Julian's out.